Hi everyone, welcome to The Skinny, where we get down to the nitty-gritty of style, fashion, beauty, and living an empowered life. I'm your host, Shazan, a fashion and beauty expert in the industry for 20 plus years, a wife, mom of two, and I'm here to help you become your most beautiful and confident self from the inside out on a savvy budget. Hi guys, today we are talking about life on reality TV and the reality of having one of the most important jobs. So, the reality of reality TV and the reality of being a mom. So, there's a definite stigma, I think, and we're going to go over that today with being, not only being a mom, but being a stay-at-home mom. And so, there's definitely a lot going on with reality TV as well. And we're going to go over some of that, like the real in reality. And there's a quote from Oprah about mothering that I've loved for quite some time. She said this back in like 2003 in her magazine. It says, "I believe the choice of becoming a mother is the choice to become one of the greatest spiritual teachers there is." And further on in this article that she wrote, it says, "I'm in awe of good mothers. Those heroines are all around me. They sacrifice daily out of love for their children. In our society, we give motherhood plenty of lip service. We pat moms on the head. We bring flowers on Mother's Day. And we honor them before crowds. But at the end of the day, we don't extend the same respect we would for a professor or a dentist, an accountant, or a judge. And women who choose full-time mothering are often put in a box by their friends or former colleagues in a container with this quote-unquote, just a mom." She went on to say, "I believe a choice to become a mother is a choice to become one of the greatest spiritual teachers there is. To create an environment that's stimulating and nurturing, to pass on a sense of responsibility to another human being, to raise a child who understands that he or she is created from good and is capable of anything." She also says, "I know for sure that few callings are more honorable than being a mom. And to play down mothering as small is to crack the very foundation of which greatness stands." So that was from Oprah. And today, I actually have with me in studio with me today is Amber, a co-star on our Bravo show, Mother Funders. And most importantly, she's become one of my most amazing friends. And we're going to talk today. Welcome to The Skinny, Amber. And she's my first time guest in studio. So I wouldn't have had it any other way. So, though, based on the endless pranks that I have encountered,
you well deserved,
and surprises, this is like the biggest prankster. And I experienced like nerves, and she's
tears.
Given me some tears and gray hair on our show. And I'm still living through that right now. But Amber, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you.
So let me just say right now, Amber's already a little bit nervous. She wanted me to get that out of the way. I had to give her breakfast, and she has a glass of water right beside her, and we're ready to go. You ready?
Yeah. No.
No? All right, so the first thing I wanted to ask you is, what was your experience like on reality TV?
What was my experience like?
Yeah, what was that like for you?
It was good. It was really good. I got along good with the camera crew.
Mm-hmm.
There were some, you know, stubborn people that I had to work with, such as Shayson. No, I'm just kidding.
No, is there anything that you would actually do differently if you could change anything? Would you do anything different?
No.
No?
I don't think I would. Would you?
No. I had a ball. Yeah. I really did. And the crew became family. Like, you hear that. But the real in reality of that part of it is that your crew's with you. They're in your house. Yeah. They're around your family and your kids. And it's over such a long and extended period of time that they really do become family. So, no, I wouldn't have done anything differently. So when you and I filmed together, our executive producers, bless their hearts, had never knew what was going to happen. They kind of just knew after a couple of shots together that we're like a runaway train and they just let us have our way. So our executive producers are like still our great friends today. And one of the questions that I have for you from Nicole was your show scripted at all?
No.
So
that's why I'm not even good right now on the radio interview. What you see is what you get.
Yeah.
At least with me. At least with me. I can't be staged.
No.
I'm not very good at, what is it? First appearances, I would say.
Yeah. You know? Like if it's like.
Like you have to get to know me until you really see me.
Yeah.
I'm more of one of those type of people.
I wasn't scripted. I told him, I was like,
no,
the real deal. And I remember right before we started filming, you and I were outside of your house in the car. And I was like, the main thing is no acting, because if you pretend today, you're not going to remember what the heck you did the day before.
Yeah.
And so it becomes inconsistent if you're not your true self. So,
yeah,
I told my producers and executive producers, I was like, real deal. All the way.
Yeah.
That's going to be too much for me to remember what kind of crazy I did
before. Well, you're
before.
Entertaining enough.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
No. That's... I think by the end of our episode, they were going to, like, ship us off. Amber and Shazan, like, on the road trying to, like, survive.
I know.
And,
trying to get you to use a public restroom.
I think one of the worst things was when you discovered that I was OCD and like a total germaphobe. That became the runaway train.
Yeah. That was your downfall. You should never have trusted me.
I never told. Or it's just... And then our EP, our love, she was just like another one that I was like, why did I tell her?
Yeah.
Why? Because then it became just like... Her mission was to put me in situations that were like...
I'm basically like a therapist. I try to get you to work over your fears.
So, okay.
For free. For free.
All right. So let me tell you guys. One of the times that Amber and I went to go and plan one of our events. And we went to a little coffee shop. And unfortunately for me, Amber found out that I am like...
You didn't like snakes.
Phobia of snakes.
Yeah.
And so we're there sitting and she brings me this beautiful gift box in pink wrapping. And she knows that pink's like my favorite color. So I'm like sitting there and filming. We're filming.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is all real. I'm eating my muffin and we're
we're like, well, no, and it was a thank you present.
Oh, yeah.
No. No, it wasn't a thank you present. It was I'm sorry because I made you cry on the bridge.
Sorry for the previous prank.
Yeah, sorry for the previous prank.
So that was...
And you ended up on the ground crying. And then I was like, maybe I took it a little too far.
No. I wasn't on the ground crying.
You were on the on the bridge.
I was on the bridge, which crying. Was like 1,000 feet in the air.
Yeah.
Crying. Because of Amber and our executive producer that blindfolded me and didn't let me realize that I was walking out on a bridge over rushing water.
Good times.
I'm terrified of heights. Side note. Yeah. So this was the gift that was the apology for that prank. And as I opened the box... She's like watching me and we're thinking that we're having like this great, you know, girly girl plan our meeting kind of time. And you guys, I opened my box.
And you cussed.
I did.
First of all, just so you guys know, there was like all of us behind closed doors. We're like betting who could get Shazan to cuss first because she doesn't cuss at all. At all.
Just
and I, of course, said that I could get a cuss word out of her. And I did.
Yeah. So I opened this beautiful pink box And inside of this box is a snake from none other than Amber sitting across from me right now.
Yeah.
Who's still my friend.
And it's the gift that keeps on giving.
I mean, and I literally almost fell on my back out of that chair. And then she's laughing. I look over and she is like as red as strawberry. They're laughing. And I'm trying to figure it, like, I'm about to make like my own door through their wall to get the heck out of there. And then she starts running after. Did you have this the box with the snake in it?
Yeah. Well, you were like, have it go outside. You were trying to ditch me, first of all.
I told her
and she was like, I told the camera girl, I'm like, this chick is literally, like, who am I going to drive home with? Because I drove with, you wouldn't let me in the car.
No, I grabbed my keys and I ran out and I told her she needed to call Uber because she was not going back home with me. And we're like out in the middle of nowhere. And I mean.
You were running in stilettos.
Yes.
In the street.
And what was our EP doing? Our executive producer?
She was
filming
laughing.
Everything was and laughing. In complete stitches. Like, they had... Did they know there was a snake in there?
They knew right before we started filming.
Oh, my God.
I had to tell... I told Darcy and he's like, you don't be doing that to Shayla.
Oh, he was actually begging for me?
No, he... I said... I was like, you know, I got her a little gift. And he's like, okay. And then I was like, you know, there's a snake in there. And he's like, there's a snake in there? I was like... Not a real one, you know. And then once our producer, Jen, found out.
Yes, she was
She
all
was like,
for it.
Oh my gosh, what am I going to do with you, Amber?
Between you and Jen, I mean.
I know,
I had the best time, though. I was always on, like, on guard. I felt like I needed to get, like, two additional eyes in the back of my head. But, it was awesome. So, but what I wanted to know for you, how was it for your girls adapting to having the film crew around all the time and then seeing themselves on TV? How was that?
It was fine. It wasn't very difficult. At first it's difficult because like my kids don't like strangers. Mm-hmm. So of course when you have like the whole entourage of the camera crew there, it's a lot.
And then this, one of the things too that was funny is when we started filming, I thought, it's modern day. There's probably going to be like one cameraman and maybe a producer that shows up. But then the first day of filming, I felt like we had a clown car because it was like ding dong. First crew came in. It's like lighting, camera. Yeah. And then doorbell rang again. And there's like another van with producers and then you have behind the scenes and they came in and it's like throwing up lights and everything all over the place. So that was something that I didn't expect.
No, I didn't either. But it set me at ease. You know, the camera crew was fun. Like Jen, she was trying to tiptoe in the background in the living room. And I was on the phone with you. Yes. I was on the phone with you. And Bailey left her Legos, like a box of Legos in the living room. And our executive producer got her foot in them, tripped, and fell in the living room. And I started crying, laughing so hard.
But you left me on the phone. Like,
I left you
on the
phone. And you're like, hello, hello. And I was like, I can't. And then it was something like, who is that? And I was like, it's nobody important. You know, like... referring to her producer on the ground.
But what, that's it, that, I mean, the real...
But you don't see that.
No.
Like, a lot of people don't see that, you know, you've got a film crew there with lighting up in the corners of your kitchen because otherwise it would just be too dark.
Yeah. And it's, like, you know, in different sections of your home become, like, the sound room or what do they call it? Video Village?
Yeah,
Video Village. And that's where they have all the monitors and... You have the sound guy and all that stuff in there.
Hold on one minute.
We also have Bailey in the studio, which is Amber's youngest. So that's, again, a part of mommy land where
and
you have stuff to do and
she
you gotta
was
bring
with
your kids
me
along.
The whole entire time. And that's just, it became second nature because I couldn't really, you know, she never had been babysat. She'd never had a nanny or a daycare experience.
Mm-hmm.
So when the camera crew came, she just did everything. And I was nursing her still. Mm-hmm. So it's like when you came to the house And then she wasn't feeling good. She wanted to go to bed. She was like, no, I want num-nums right now. Like,
num-nums, side note. Num-nums, for those listening, are boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so she wanted to be breastfed. And that's their, you know, special words for when it's breastfeeding time.
Yeah.
Which is just a part of mommyhood.
Yeah.
You know?
And you were blocking her from it.
We were having a meeting. Amber and I were having a meeting and planning for this event. And this was one of the first times that I'd gone inside of Amber's home. So we're having the meeting and Bailey, who's her youngest, was there and she was ready to go to take her nap.
Yeah. Is that what it was? Yeah, she wanted to go upstairs and go to sleep.
Yeah. And so here Bailey came in right between the meeting and was ready to be breastfed and it went down right then and there. And they did not stop the cameras because that's the real in reality. So that became one of the scenes which provoked a lot of conversation from our viewers on, you know, is it crazy that there's breastfeeding in the middle of a meeting? And then you had the others where it's like, you can breastfeed wherever you want to. And, you know, that whole thing where it's always very interesting conversation, like the feedback, but, you know, I breastfed my kids, so just a normal part of it. And so, again, it comes all the way down to personal preferences and leave your judgment at the door, you know? So,
and that's what happens with reality TV. You get judged, you know.
Harshly.
You get judged harshly, you know. There's a lot of negative feedback on the internet talking about my child's weight, talking about how she's too big to be having num-nums. And, you know, she was, how old was she at the time? Two? She was two?
Didn't we have a birthday party? Was she going to be three or what party did we have? That was with a bumblebee?
Yeah, that was three.
We had a bumblebee party. So, yeah, she was going on three.
Yeah, so she was two when we were filming. So she's an extended feeder, obviously, is what they would call it. But Shai still didn't, and she didn't really like the message at her birthday party either when I said, that's
so
a wrap.
This is what Amber did at Bailey's birthday party that we had at Fun Bowl, I think it was.
Yeah.
And so at the bottom of this box, because Amber was ready to wean her off of breastfeeding. Because
I said, you know, she's three, we're going to stop three.
Yes. But this is Amber and Roger, who's her husband's decision. They didn't discuss that with Bailey before the party. So inside of this gift box, I think Amber has this thing about jarring people with gift boxes that look all beautiful. But
a Band-Aid. You just have to rip it off to get to it.
Inside of this gift box was a regular bottle of milk. And as Bailey opened that box, I promise
you. Well, she saw the picture.
She saw there's a picture.
I drew a picture of num-nums with, like, a cross through it, like, saying no more.
Right.
And then it was, like, you know, she saw the picture, and then we read it to her or whatever, and it's, like, there's no more num-nums. And she knew what that picture meant. She picked up the milk, threw it back in the box, started having a tantrum, and then I yelled at Roger. I was like, you ruined her birthday because you just had to get me to try to tell her we're weaning her off.
Roger wants his boobs back.
I know. He wants num-nums back. He was trying to claim them back.
So, okay. Let's talk fashion. Because you're mama and you have
no fashion.
Three girls. You have no fashion.
I have no fashion.
Your girls do. Well, you're a mom with three girls and... Yeah. So we want to, do you have any tips? And all of you guys are always stylish, so I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not even co-signing that you have no fashion.
Oh, I have no fashion. I don't. You know I don't have no fashion. Okay. But with the girls, always a bow. I'm a sucker for bows.
So how do you stay sane while you're shopping with three girls? Do you take them with you or?
Yeah.
So that process like?
They never leave my side. Bailey has never really left my side. No, it's fine. It's normal.
If they help you pick things out or they just let you put things together?
They'll say what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're easy.
Let me tell you guys that
like
she's
I
being,
said,
she's being
kids,
very...
Kids are very easy. It's adults, no name near
yes,
me.
Yes. And the whole thing of like, so are you a mom that's about labels or?
No. I do not do any name brand labels.
Yeah. I'm a resale chic lady.
Yeah, I do pretty much deals, but I do stuff that if it's cute, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get some clothes from yard sales, mm-hmm. consignment shops, you know, regular stores. Mm-hmm. I get it wherever. But I mean, Bailey has, you know,
the most.
She probably has 80 pairs of shoes, and she has well over 100 bows.
Yeah.
And headbands, you know.
Which you never see. You never see Bailey without a bow, headband, or a little pocketbook of some kind. And she is just like dressed from head to toe, but all of her girls are always dressed from head to toe.
Yeah.
And many times they're all dressed the same.
Yeah.
So does that become challenging when you're always trying to find, because what are the ages now?
Well, Desi, she's now 13.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't do the matchy-matchy with them anymore. She's a teenager.
She's checked out.
So she's done. But Tristan and Bailey definitely do matchy-matchy. And because I've done matchy-matchy with them so much that even when I don't want them to match, they're like, no, we're not matching.
Yeah.
And if not, I do color schemes.
So what do you have any tips for moms with multiple girls? Because their Amber's girls are always pulled together. That's one of the things that I have to say right off the bat. It's like hair, clothes, everything is just always done. So it's like that whole thing.
I have a lot of pictures. See how it is. It's all
a thousand side okay, note, 10,000.
Yeah. I have, see, the thing is, I don't take a lot of pictures of myself. I take a lot of pictures of the girls.
Yeah.
But what you don't realize is like behind the camera, I don't have any makeup on. I'm wearing pajamas,
right.
But their nails are done. Their lip gloss is on. Their hair is done. You know, I put my kids first, and I put myself at the very end.
So do you have any tips for the moms out there that have multiple kids or girls? Hold on 1 second for Bailey. They'll be right back. But intermission for them. So one of the things is when you have multiple girls, it can become really challenging. Like, I know just having one girl, my daughter, London, when she was like 2.5, 3, she just immediately showed that she had this independent personality and this taste of her own. And so every time I would get her dressed, like...
Who are you talking about?
This is about London.
Oh, London.
Yeah, like getting to age 3.
Yeah.
And a little bit before. Every time I dressed her in the morning, like a couple hours later, she ended up coming out and here's a different outfit.
She's like a mini you.
Five times throughout the day. Yes, she is.
I wonder where she gets that from.
Where it was just like always a different outfit. And so as she was getting older, the thing that she would do too is if I would put her clothes, well, I did. I always put her clothes on like the night before or in the morning.
Yeah.
And then she got to the point where she started telling me, I'm not going to like that one today, mommy. I might like it tomorrow. And then she like goes and gets her own thing. So do you run into that with them too, where it's like they want to do their own thing or they're pretty much in line with whatever you set up
Bailey,
for them?
Bailey and Tristan, all of them, they don't, like, you can't cut corners with them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like cut corners on that type of stuff, you know? So if I say, hey, you want to wear a dress? They're like, yeah, I do want to wear a dress, you know? Or if they just, like, if their hair's not done, mm-hmm. and I say, come on, let's just go to the store, I'll just put it up, then they'll be like, oh, my hair's not done, you know? They're girly girls.
Yeah.
Me, I, of course, look like a homeless person besides him. But that's okay.
So it's, give me a tip that you would give to moms with multiple girls on, it can be expensive. So mm-hmm. we love talking about being resale chic on the skinny and savvy spending and stuff like that. So.
Well, mine goes down the line.
What do you mean?
Like, even right now, the shirt that Bailey has on was Tristan's shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So, first, you know, Desi has it, then Tristan has it, then Bailey has
right.
it. I don't get rid of it.
Right.
At all.
When you say at all, do you get rid of it after Bailey or it goes into yeah. like the memory yeah. box?
Like I keep some of this stuff, but I mean like the majority of it, no. Mm-hmm. Even like one of their teachers was like, oh my gosh, I love the way she dresses. You know, do you think I could get the baby clothes? And I was like, I might have another baby. And if it's a girl, I'm not getting rid of my girl stuff. So it's like, no.
It's like, no.
And I did.
Even when Bailey's 20.
I ended up with a third girl. You know, so there you go.
But, so do you have any instances where you kind of interact with other parents or other moms and
no.
they're, no.
I don't at all.
She does not like
you
people.
Know, yeah, I don't. I only deal with kids.
She's not kidding.
Yeah.
She's like zero tolerance.
The only time I ever really had to deal with other moms was when I was getting paid for it.
Right.
Like on a reality show. And I had to be forced to like be in an environment with other moms and you know.
She's so not kidding. I'm so glad that I got behind the wall and I'm actually back here with her. I'm a friend. but during this, well, I've encountered it. Like, you know, a year ago that I resigned and retired from being a celebrity hair and makeup artist.
Yeah.
And so after 20 years in the industry, then making that decision to kind of like reprioritize my time and restructure how everything was lined up because I was traveling and on call for like 8 years.
Yeah.
And as my kids are getting older, it's like my son was starting high school, my daughter starting middle school. It's a lot of times you think it's really, really important for me to be there when they're really young. It's so important at that stage, but then it's also really important to be present as they're going through this new transition. So in making that decision to do that and also to, you know, grab the bull by the horns and just take my career to the next level and do these other things I'm doing now, I encountered some comments, some very interesting comments and questions that were jarring at times. Like, you know, one of the things that I heard was, oh, so you're just gonna be a mom? You're just gonna stay at home now and be a mom? Like it was a demotion of some kind.
Yeah.
So have you ever heard the
no,
just
the
mom?
No, really, because I don't really hang out with, you know, educated, sophisticated people that are like, have a career.
Stop.
Like the only person that I know has a career is like Bailey coloring a picture. Like, no. So no, I'm only around, I'm always around moms, you know?
Yeah.
At the school, you see them.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. We live in the
suburbs.
But
these were moms that were saying this to me.
Yeah.
Like, they, I don't know, like, I guess they saw it as, you know, a demotion. Like, I was demoting myself from career. And it's not like I've given up career land, but it's different where now the priority is, okay, the foundation and center is the kids and making sure that everything kind of fans out from there where many times your career can become center.
Yeah.
You know, but that was really interesting to me because, I mean, it started looking at it like, so what am I going to go home and just suck my thumb?
Yeah.
And like it's nothing where I see, I've always seen it as like one of the most important jobs.
Yeah. Well, and like with me, I always knew I wanted to be a mom. Ever since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to just be like, oh, I'm going to be a mom one day. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have girls one day. You know,
did
like,
you say that too?
Yeah.
Like
I mean, my mom had three girls and they were all 3 years apart. Mm-hmm. I have three girls, all 4 years apart.
Wow.
And, you know, we planned them so that the one would be like in pre-K and then a new baby.
Yeah.
So they have their time to get winged off and stuff. But no, I didn't feel... I don't feel bad about it because I'm doing what I want to do.
Right.
That's something that I always wanted. And it's like.
Right. And it's.
I'm lucky and I got it.
Yeah.
Like that's what. Yeah.
It's a role. And you know, when you look at it, it's as a mom role in life. It's whether you're involved in your niece's life or your nephews or other children around. Even if you haven't birthed children for yourself. It's like when you have children around you that you love and adore. This is pretty much kind of a role, a mothering role when you're overseeing. And it's everyone has a mom. So it's either you're on the child side, knowing that having a mom is important, or as a mom, knowing that having children are important. It's just an important role.
Yeah.
In creating that foundation.
And some people are good at different things.
Yeah.
You know, some people are better, like my middle sister.
Mm-hmm.
She does not like staying at home. Mm-hmm. She's always worked, and it's like she just gets bored at home, and she doesn't like it. So she's always wanting to work and stuff like
right.
that. Me, no. It's like I'm always having to, I want to be there hands-on, you know. I can't, you know,
it's
ever quit breastfeeding. I can't ever quit nurturing. That's like all I do.
Here's what I've experienced career life. I've experienced being at home when my kids were younger.
Yeah.
I took that time off out of my career too when they were younger, and I was a stay-at-home mom. And so I've experienced both sides, and it really does come down to what's important, you know, for you as that individual.
Yeah.
And it's like one's not better than the other. It's what's important for you and the dynamics of your family. And that becomes the real in the reality of parenting.
Yeah.
Just as you have the real in the reality of reality TV. The other thing I wanted to touch with you before.
Well, and you're going to, you know, you're going to be basically doing the same thing. If you're at home dealing with kids, they're going to tell you what they want.
Mm-hmm.
If you're at a job, your boss is going to tell you what you want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so basically the only difference is income.
Right.
You either do the, you get
well,
it for
that payment
free,
is,
getting
yeah.
told.
Yeah.
I don't
want to
eat that.
And the reward is just a different type of reward.
Yeah.
You know, for what you're doing. And so I have a teenage, I have my teen son, and then, London is going to be a teenager. You have a teenager now.
Yeah.
And like the blending of both, where reality TV is just a staple within society right now. And mm-hmm. so it's definitely impacting our teens on how their perspective is on life. And what we see on a lot of reality shows, it's like about, you know, how do I look? What do I have?
Yeah.
All of this kind of stuff. And it's a definite influence on our kids and our teens. And how do you find that it's with your daughter now that you've been on reality TV?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you have a better way of explaining to her the difference between reality TV? Like, it seems so foreign, and now you guys have experienced it. How do you help her through that process? Because, like, for all teens, we kind of, like, need to help them through.
Well, Desi, she's... My oldest is different. She doesn't mm-hmm. really... She never really wanted to do the whole social media stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wasn't going to give her a phone
mm-hmm.
or let her do Instagram until she was 13.
Mm-hmm.
So, she asked me a couple of days before her 13th birthday. She's like, you know, Mom, maybe mm-hmm. I might get an Instagram or whatever.
Right.
And I said, you know...
Maybe not.
No. You're getting it when you turn 13. She's like,
right.
It's in a couple of days.
Right.
What's the point? It's principle. Okay? You're not getting Instagram until you're a teenager.
Right. Does she have it now?
Yeah.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. I supervise it. She shows me other people's stuff and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and stuff like that. But she's not really into that stuff.
Yeah. I find that our involvement, I think just on a whole, having the experience of being on reality TV, seeing what that can be like with how social media can just come at you.
Yeah.
Because once you're on the main screen, you're a target, whether
well,
it's going to be positive
also,
or
I'm
negative.
I'm different. Out of all the cast members, everybody got the blue check mark
right.
to show that you're like on TV or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the only one pretty much on Bravo that you cannot contact me
directly
in Facebook and Instagram. It's like, oh, well, you know, you're going to have a fan base. And it's like, I might be on TV and you might be able to see me on TV. But that doesn't
mean
you're coming on my Facebook and talking about my children. It's not going to happen.
Listen, guys, let me tell you, people would reach out to me. How can I get to Amber? Or tell Amber. And we still have some people. Well, I have some people on Twitter that communicate to me.
Yeah.
And asked me to pass on messages to Amber, because she was not on Twitter, and she made that conscious decision, and she was not accessible by Facebook, and she just wasn't interested. And one thing that I love about Bravo is that they allowed that choice. It didn't become like this mandated thing that was forced on
like
us.
Like, you have to live do it. Twitter. Yeah. And it's like, no.
Yeah. You know, like, that was like complete chaos the first night with this live tweeting the night our show came on. They were like, we need you guys to live tweet. And I was like, what the heck is that?
And I wasn't live tweeting. I was like in your living room taking selfies with
you. Like all here. And it was completely chaotic.
Yeah.
You know, where you try to like watch the show and then your phone like going off, vibrating to bits.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting dynamic.
To me, I wanted to protect my kids.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's what happens. When you do reality TV, you're going to be judged and crucified for it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, I like the, like being on TV, but, that part of like the camera crew and you guys, I liked that part, but I didn't like the whole fame that came along with it.
Yeah.
You know, you would see people out in public and stuff, and they're like, hey, Bailey. And she's like, I don't know you.
Right.
You know,
See, Bailey's good, because then after, you know, that's one of the things too, is when you're out and about, because people see you on reality TV, they feel like they do know you. Because what freaked me out one day was someone was like, ooh, I love the black and white wall in your living room. And I'd forgotten that moment that I was on TV. And I was like, how the heck does she know I have a black and white wall in my living room? You know, so that's like the transition too of being on TV, is that so many other people know all this stuff about you. But as we go, I wanted to...
But I love fans. I just don't like people that talk crap.
We like the good fans.
Yeah, we like the good fans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they still communicate with me all the time. And they still ask about Amber. And is she ever going to get a Twitter? No, she's not. She's not getting Twitter. She's not getting Instagram.
No.
If you want to reach her, send me a message.
I know.
But one of the things I definitely wanted to leave off with today is, because we do have that experience of reality TV and mommy land, you know, it's information for how people can maneuver their way through reality TV with their teenagers, and just kind of the things to look for. Because for us on our show, what was going on really was, it was real, you know? And so, but then a lot of the other shows, I would have to say that some of the things, like the violent things that happen, and, you know, I definitely choose not to have my kids watch too much of reality TV, because some of the things, it's just not good messages that are out there. But I would say, you know, for those who realize that their kids may be really attached to reality TV, like, monitor to see how your kids are interacting with these shows, and check them to see if their characteristics are changing, or if they're trying to emulate what they're seeing on TV, and sit and see what shows they're actually watching, and get feedback from them. Like, who's your favorite character on here?
A lot of the people too, like, that do reality TV, they have insecurities of getting cut. You know, like,
the show.
The more seasons you do, the more, you know, your money might go up, or whatever it might be. And so they don't want to get cut. So if you bring all this drama, then, you know, your ratings could go up or whatever.
Right.
And it's basically like you're selling yourself.
Yeah.
Because how far are you going to go so that you don't get cut?
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to degrade yourself, like in fighting and...
Yeah. And those are the things that we do have to pass on to our kids as they watch these shows, if we so choose to have them watch the shows. And we can protect them as much as possible, but they're going to see it somewhere or another. Friends are going to see it. So it's touching base, especially one of the things too that's important is because self-esteem and, you know, self-image. It's like, I want to look like that one because this is happening. And so stay in tune is one of the things we would definitely say. Like, watch the show with them. See which ones they're watching and see who are their favorite characters and why. These are conversations that you really need to engage in with them. Is it the way they look? Do they wish they look like this person?
Yeah.
Why? And at the end of listening and having conversations and kind of bringing the real in reality TV to your kids, is that love themselves for how they are. And know that that is still TV and that's someone else. Everybody's unique. Yeah. We all don't have to look the same. And value, you know, with being who you are. And I've mentioned so many times on the show, it has nothing to do with the labels that you're wearing, how much this costs versus how much that costs. That's not where your true value comes from. So as much as we love reality TV and had a ball at doing it, we're also parents, so we were looking at both perspectives, and that is something to take away, is giving the real in reality TV to your kids and teens, whether you have them, kids around you, nieces, nephews, whatever. It's just doing that, because then there can be...
Well, and it's not, I mean, even pictures aren't even really real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get edited in your pictures, you soften... So you don't have zits.
Yeah.
So you don't have wrinkles. You know.
So your freckles go away.
I'm really, really, really pasty white. So guess what? I always make myself tanner in a picture. It's like, let's just do a little bit on here. You know?
Yeah. And that's pretty much what we wanted to talk about. It's like the joys and the reality of it. The real in reality TV and the reality of being a mom. And so... we're going to go right now, and as always, like I tell you, you deserve and you have the right to live and feel beautiful and empowered. And we're going to have Bailey say goodbye.
Bailey, say bye, Bailey.
Bye-bye? She's like, get me out of here.
Like, bye.
Say bye.
Are you ready for me and Shazana to quit talking? Yeah.
She's like, mm-hmm. Bailey's my sweetie pie. Well, you've been listening to The Skinny with me, Shazana, and our guest today, Amber. Thank you so much for listening, and stay tuned for next week's podcast.